Let's go to Matters Coalition, Matters Political first. Well, we'll start with Matters Political outside of coalitionology. First of all, Hugh, busy times for the Social Democrats.
Yeah, they've had quite the week. Owen Hayes suspended from the party indefinitely, it seems. Certainly there's a meeting of the National Executive of the Social Democrats this evening to discuss what to do next about this this situation, how long he might be suspended for, whether there's a route back into the party for him. It's interesting, I think, that at the doorstep this evening, I think either Keane O'Callaghan or Gary Gannon confirmed that that Hayes had not offered to resign from the party, had not offered to kind of step away from the party for a period, but rather had been unilaterally suspended by agreement of the rest of the parliamentary party. And this, just obviously to remind your listeners, relates to his disposal of nearly 200,000 euro pre-tax worth of shares in Palantir, a company that provides AI software solutions to the Israeli Defense Forces, a company that he used to work for, a company that he got shares from as part of a redundancy agreement, a company that he a shareholding that he said he had disposed of before he entered politics, when in fact he only disposed of it last July. And the fact that he had repeatedly said yesterday at Leinster House, yesterday morning at Leinster House, that he had disposed of this shareholding before he entered politics, and then had to admit that that was not the case a short time later, has obviously caused huge amounts of disquiet, and, you know, has raised this question about whether he can hold on to his dual seat. I mean, he can. There's no way of removing him. We have no recall procedure in these in this country. So he can serve, whether as an independent or what else or whatever else, for the next 4 or 5 years or however long this dole lasts. But, you know, he went before the people on a track record of representing a party that has been very, very vociferous in calling for the state to divest any kind of shareholding in companies that does any sort of business with Israel or with the Israeli military.
And would pride itself on majoring in transparency.
Absolutely. I looked at their manifesto the other day. There's 17 mentions of transparency. The Social Democrats have championed the idea of transparency in public life, transparency in politics, in order to create greater public buy-in to the type of politics that they preach. And they are, I have to say, quite preachy in respect of a lot of matters. And they have been very critical of this government in relation to the Occupied Territories Bill and its whole approach to the Middle East conflict over the last year or so. So for this issue, of all issues,
I'd say they would say they're outspoken. But
I'm saying preachy. That's my opinion. But look, I think that this is an issue that has really set them back. The way they deal with it now is important. I mean, in fairness to them, they took very serious action against Owen Hayes very quickly. He's suspended from the party. How long he will be suspended for, whether they choose to expel him or not, I guess, is kind of the acid test.
And there's another issue now tonight about GoFundMe fundraising.
That's correct, yeah.
But there's a limit. Explain away.
Yeah,
there.
So he had a GoFundMe page raising money for his election bid, which is not unusual. Lots of candidates do that. But there are strict rules around donation limits. And there was a anonymous donation of €2,500 that was made. This is well above the limits. And so he has said this evening, or rather he's told, I think, some journalists and has told some of his, I was going to say party colleagues, but he told Gary Gannon, for example, that he had returned 1,500 of this €1,500 of this money to this donor, whose identity will have to be disclosed anyway when he makes his filing.
If the donation is
€1,000.
If the donation had been a totally anonymous, he would have had to return 2,400 of that, because anonymous donations are only allowed to the limit of 100. He says he knows the identity of the person, and as a result, he's returning.
There's also some reporting this evening, I think it's on the Irish Independent, that he is in fact returning all of the money to all of those who donated. I think he raised in and around €8,000. Could be wrong on that. He removed the fundraising page from the internet last night. But there's a suggestion that given his windfall from the sale of these shares earlier this year, that perhaps he didn't need this money.
Okay.
But there's also a question to be asked about what he did with this money and whether any of this money was used to bankroll his campaign to get into the Dáil.
Okay.
He was a 66 to 1 shot to be elected to the Dáil. So his election was a huge surprise and a huge coup for the Social Democrats, but obviously it's blown up in their face. And one more point I would make in relation to this is that he the party's handling of this matter initially, when it was the story was broken by the Irish Daily Mail last week by Craig Hughes in the Irish Daily Mail, was disastrous. Like, they did not clearly get Owen Hayes in a room and say, "Well, what's the story here? When did you, you know, when did you come into this shareholding? When did you sell this shareholding? When did you divest yourself of all this? You know, why didn't you tell us this before? This is obviously, you know, kind of problematic for us." They didn't get their story straight, and so they send him out onto the plinth at Leinster House yesterday, where he is, you know, questioned for 22 minutes and refuses to give a straight answer. Right.
And one of the things, in fact, lies repeatedly.
I mean, I'm saying that, but it's clear that he gave information that was untrue.
Yeah, sure. And he's released a statement tonight saying, we did ask for the Social Democrats last night and indeed tonight, if anyone is wondering why that voice is not being heard. He said, in one particular instance during the general election campaign, a donor made a contribution of 2,500 through the GoFundMe page, exceeding the legal annual limit of 1,000 for individuals. He made the donation online using the anonymous function on GoFundMe and did not discuss that anonymity or the amount with me prior to making the donation. I understand the donor confused the annual party limit, 2,500, with the annual individual limit, 1,000. I wrote to the donor, who is known to me. I explained I would need to refund the excess of 1,500. He agreed to this course of action, reiterated his support for me, and I have now refunded those funds. That's how that statement concludes. So no word on the full refund in that. You may have access to other intelligence on that. There is pressure, Barry Ward, growing on the opposition benches. People Before Profit, Sinn Féin, have both called for him to resign his Dáil seat. Are you making that call?
No, I haven't. As ever, it's not the offence as much as the cover-up that got him, and it's the lying about it that I think is the real problem. But I don't celebrate the difficulty that any particularly new politician faces when they've made a mistake like this. He shouldn't have lied about it, he shouldn't have done it, and all of that is true. Whether he should resign or not, as Hugh says, nobody can force him to, and people can shout into the wind all they like, although I must say, I think when I hear Sinn Féin making calls like that, I wonder about people in glass houses casting stones in terms of some of the people
they're not in the room to defend this, but on the specific issue of owning Palantir shares and then accounting for the ownership of that share, I don't think you'll find a specific analogous example in that particular party.
No, you won't, I don't think. But I think the mistake that the Soc Dems seem to have made is simply to have taken him at his word. When he said he disposed of them and disposed of them on a certain date, they just accepted that. And I think there is an obligation on a party to go further than that. I can give you an example of my own instance. Somebody sent a photograph of the tax disc on my car into head office, I think on the 2nd or the 3rd of November, showing it expiring on the 31st of October. It was renewed on time. I told them as much. They still wanted a picture of the new disc to make sure that it was, and that's a more minor matter in many respects, but parties have an obligation, I think, not just to take their members at their word, but to satisfy themselves that what they're saying is correct, and that obviously wasn't done by the Soc Dems, which is a lesson they will have learned now.
Paul Lawless, what's your view? There are people calling, as I say, for the resignation of Owen Hayes from his seat. Do you have a view on whether he should or not?
Our view is that we, you know, we must respect the democratic mandate. You know, obviously what happened here was wrong. There's certainly a significant level of hypocrisy. There's no question that the Social Democrats are often pride themselves as holier than thou, the type of Puritans of Irish politics. And there's no question in my mind that if this was an event or scandal that happened in another party, the Social Democrats would be, you know, out in arms and causing a significant amount of outrage in relation to it.
I suppose the other 10 of them who have not had this shareholding issue are entitled to continue to occupy the moral high ground, although I suppose given the implications of this shareholding, we won't put it in terms of occupation of any territory.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a party that has called for significant sanctions, bans, arrests and boycotts in relation to this. And indeed, the candidate themselves would have campaigned on these issues. So, you know, there is a significant level of doublespeak and hypocrisy in relation to it. And I do think as well the handling here is very questionable. I mean, in my view, Holly Curran's... they're very disappointed with Cian O'Callaghan in relation to the leadership that is shown. Like, this is a story that was broke a number of days ago that was well documented in the media, And yet it seems that the party had no preparation or indeed line, and the answers that was provided by the deputy was clearly misleading as well.
The net point is you don't think he should resign his seat. The people passed their verdict at the general election, and you think that the next time he should face that verdict is the next general election.
You know, in my view, we must respect the democratic mandate of the people. And look, I won't be calling for the TD to resign his seat. If he feels that is the right thing to do, then that is a decision for him. But, you know, I won't be calling for his head. And indeed, he will face his people in the next election.
OK, we have two texters in on WhatsApp, 0870323232. I'm a Dublin-based South voter. This man should resign now, says Francis. And definitely not credible for Owen Hayes to rejoin the Social Democrats. Values and actions are not compatible with their values, says Damien, another texter. Hugh O'Connell, briefly, before we move on to other matters.
Well, I was just going to make the point that from his perspective, this, you know, as his own kind of personal political crisis has happened at a good time, at the best possible time for him, at the start of his Dáil career, as opposed to in the middle of it or towards the end of it. He has, if he chooses to continue, he has time to recover in whatever way that may be, whether it's going back into the Social Democrats after a certain period out in the cold, or forging a career as an independent TD and being a good constituency representative and a good political operative in Leinster House, be that in the party or as an independent. He could, you know, if he stays independent, he could maybe join one of the technical speaking groups that's been set up. So, you know, there is an opportunity for him to rebuild from this point, but he has a lot of work to do on that front, and it's a huge challenge for him.
Okay, actual coalition building, though, the advantage would seem to be with the regional independents. It seems they want ministerial positions. They seem to be the most willing and likely at this stage. Does that put them in a position of power, Hugh?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gives them some leverage. I mean, I think it's pretty clear now that the Social Democrats are probably not going to be going into government. And I think it's pretty clear, and it will be pretty clear by the weekend, that Labour are not going into government either. So I think that does leave the independents. And there is this block, this block of regional independents. I think their number is now growing to 11 with the admission of Carol Nolan. It's a group set up for speaking purposes. It's a very diverse group. They've kind of appointed Michael Lowry, the Tipperary TD, the independent former Fine Gael cabinet minister, of course, long a fixture in Leinster House, as their kind of spokesperson. He will meet with Fine Gael's lead negotiator, Helen McEntee, and Jack Chambers of Fianna Fáil next week. And I guess they will set out the parameters under which discussions will take place. But I mean, I've been talking to some of the independents today, and you know, they've had their own meetings individually with Simon Harris and with Micheál Martin separately. And they've set out, in some instances, they've set out their kind of priorities. And in some instances, there's been documents handed over and said, these are our priorities. What can you do about these things?
For Barry Heenan, it's a Gael school, it's disability services.
It's these kinds of things, so, you know, I guess then at some point next week, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil will come back to these independents with responses to these and whether these are achievable within the parameters of a programme for government. And that's how you get there. But it does seem that this group of independents, that, you know, I would foresee that at least half a dozen of them will you know, enter some sort of formal arrangement. And then in some instances, there are some of them who are looking for jobs, I think, and will be looking for ministries. And I guess, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they don't have a majority, so they will have to offer something up. And that probably will be, it may go as high as one cabinet minister. It might be a super junior. It might be a couple of junior ministries. And we already see tonight that this regional group have said they want to put forward Verona Murphy for Ciarán Cóirle. So I suspect that one of the things they will have to do is support Verona Murphy for Ciarán Cóirle. That vote will take place,
which may or may not be music to the ears of Pat the Cope Galler and Sean O'Farrell, whose names have been linked with it.
Well, indeed, I mean, look, ultimately, it's a political calculation, I guess, for the leader of Fianna Fáil, in this case, Micheál Martin, because two of his TDs, Pat the Cope and Sean O'Farrell, have indicated some interest in this in the Ciarán Cóirle position. Of course, we know that Sean O'Farrell has been Ciarán Cóirle in the last two Dáilíne. Had indicated that he wouldn't be running again, but then, you know, suddenly he's getting nominations and he seems to be back in the mix. You know, Verona Murphy would be the first female Ciarán Cóirle. There's a certain symbolism that goes with that, but not just that. Obviously, she's someone, I think, who has riled up the government on a few issues over the years, but is clearly ambitious for this position, clearly has the backing of that group, or the regional independents. And so this is the price of power, ultimately. That Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael combined do not have a dual majority, so they need to give some leeway on issues like this.
Paul Lawless, I mean, your constituents has elected you on a particular platform. What do you think the view amongst your constituents is as to what your position as a TD should be in all of these talks about forming coalition and using leverage to achieve your policy aims?
Well, you know, firstly, we fought this election and we were very honest with the people in relation to who we would and wouldn't go into government with. So we said from the outset that, we didn't want to put Fine Gael back into government. We didn't want to see that party in government for 19 years. But we have extended the negotiations or the invite to Fianna Fáil in relation to that. And we are obviously a member of that regional group, and I know that group is negotiating with government, and indeed we are seeking to meet with Fianna Fáil. But if that doesn't happen, obviously we will go into opposition, obviously, and we will provide the opposition that's required in terms of.
Will you have to join another technical group in order to enjoy the speaking rights you hope to enjoy in a wider group of 11?
Yeah, well, look, it's interesting. The first I heard about the advanced talks was actually with the headset on in advance of coming on here. So it is, relatively new news to me. But we joined the group in the first instance to achieve speaking rights and so on in the Dáil. So if those independents do end up in government, then certainly we'll be looking for, I suppose an expansion or to work with other like-minded independents and small groups to join a technical group to ensure that we have that time in the Dáil. But, in terms of the going back to the question you asked, most recently, the constituents have been raising the issue of the Mercosur trade deal, for example. And, I think it's critically important that the government actually gets down to business. I think there's a dance that's happening here between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I think it's incredible that it has taken them 2 weeks to sit down together. And I think it's certainly, the next government looks like it will be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They seem to have locked out Sinn Féin and the other parties in relation to it. Labour, it seems, is on the one hand saying they're talking to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but yet they're telling the media that they're no intention of going into government. We need to form a government as quickly as possible. The Mercosur trade deal is not going to wait. It will cause significant damage to rural Ireland, the constituents I represent in Mayo, for example. It's critically important that this dance ends and the government is formed as quickly as possible. And that's something that, if we're not in government, and we certainly would like to be, but if it's the case on this occasion, then we will provide the oversight and the opposition that every government needs.
Barry Ward, there was a programme for government drawn up the last time. There is still outstanding legislation left from the lifetime of the last government. It would seem that really the only thing left for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is to get the extra numbers in and drive on, and whatever concessions are required to get another 8 TDs in there, that would be easily and swiftly done. So it seems to the voter maybe that this is taking rather longer than it should.
Yeah, listen to Paul there talking about a dance. I think it's to suggest that this is just a matter of everybody sitting down and agreeing on the spoils of post-election success. It's not about that. It's about putting together a programme for government. That's a hugely complex and lengthy process. My understanding, speaking to negotiators today, is they are literally going through this issue by issue by issue. Of course, that takes time. I'm sorry that Paul doesn't seem to think that it should take time, that we should all just snap it all together in the interest of expediency, but it's much more important to get it right than it is to get it done quickly. So what's happening is, and this is a new government, remember, yes, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are likely to be part of it, but this would be a new programme for government. Of course, after 5 years or for nearly 5 years, priorities might change slightly. There will be more focus on certain issues, particularly areas where we feel we want to deliver on properly, maybe not having done as much as we would like over the last number of years. But I'm very confident that you've got a group of people now, not dancing, and I think that's a kind of flippant
thing. I know, but,
say,
the main issue, say, going out of government, Micheál Martin coming out of this government said he was disappointed there wasn't more done on disability special schools, putting people into those schools. Simon Harris wants more done on disability. There's disability.
Absolutely.
Almost locked and loaded. There doesn't seem to be any disagreement with the approach of moving people from community disability network teams into the schools. I mean, what are the points of disagreement?
Okay, I don't know that there are points of disagreement. I'm not in the negotiations, and disability is a hugely important thing, and I can tell you myself in Dunleary, all the groups that I work with all the time, kids with additional educational needs, schools that need spaces, schools that need assistance, assessments, all the rest. This is a massive priority for me and for many within Fine Gael. That doesn't mean that you just have a page in the manifesto that says, or the programme of government says, more for disability.
What the party leaders are saying is that it's, and Micheál Martin says, you know, this is about substance, and Simon Harris says it's about policy. And yet the main areas of disagreement seem to be about whether or not Fianna Fáil gets its Department of Home Affairs alongside the Department of Justice, whether Fine Gael gets its Department of Infrastructure, and then what the general mix and the number of TDs are. Like, what's the outstanding policy difference that's standing in the way?
I'm not in the negotiations, but I can tell you this. The main points of disagreement are not about departments and things like that. It's about the detail. And it's not even necessarily disagreement. It's about agreeing where the detail goes in. The programme for government is exactly what the government will be called to implement. It'll what be the civil servants will see in terms of implementation. The detail that is written down and that will form the basis of what this government is going to do over the next 5 years. I want them to be careful about that detail, and I want them to get that detail right. I don't want them to do it in a day just so that we can get on with it.
Oh, it's you, O'Connor.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I guess, you know, where there is a will, there is a way to get it done quicker. I mean, the Fine Gael Labour government in 2011 was put together in 6 days. Now, I know that was obviously a different situation where we were in the midst of a Troika bailout and the country was frankly going down the tubes, you know, and a government was needed very quickly. But, you know, the fact that the negotiating teams, I think, only met, or Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael only met kind of in full either today or yesterday, you know, over
there
a week.
There were talks last week.
There were some
talks. Two leaders sat down last week, for starters. I mean,
was that over a pint in Scotland?
There were talks. But, I mean, the point of this is not that a few days...
But these things can be done quickly, is my point,
Barry. Of course they can.
Barry.
They can also be done wrong, Hugh. And they can be rushed. And they can be done in a way that is less good than the way they'd be done if they're done carefully.
But I think it could be done by Christmas. I mean, we could have had a government and a Taoiseach ready to be elected when the dole resumes on the 18th of December. That's part of the reason, I think, why there was a gap left between the election on the 29th and the dole sitting again on December 18th.
Well, actually, the reason for that is that the law stipulates that the dole must be recalled 30 days after election day. But the point is, it could have been within five days, three days, four days, whatever. Say you do have a Taoiseach and Taoiseach and ministers elected, you will not have a programme for government with the level of detail that's required.
You could definitely have a programme for
government. I don't agree that you could. And remember, this is an important point. You find the bits which overlap.
But you see,
here's the problem with what you're saying. It's not just Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. As you pointed out yourself, we don't have a majority between us. We need to bring other parties in, and they need to be part of that discussion as well.
I do want to just ask Hugh O'Connell just one more question. It was, you know, one of the person who's the interlocutor on behalf of the Regional Independence Group is Michael Lowry. And both Micheál Martin and Michael Lowry have had some things to say about each other over the years. In 2011, Micheál Martin had quoted at length from the report of the Moriarty Tribunal. He supported a motion in the Dáil asking Michael Lowry to step down from his seat. He said that people in coalition talks shouldn't have anything to do with the deputy, that that the findings of the Moriarty Tribunal couldn't be ignored. And then Michael Lowry accused Micheál Martin of hypocrisy in the Dáil and accused him of posing as an altar boy when he was questioned over what the nature of the dealings between government and Michael Lowry was. And yet, here we are.
Yeah, I was reading back over some of what Micheál Martin was saying, particularly at the 2016 general election, where he was very clear that Fianna Fáil would have nothing to do with Michael Lowry, because there was a question at that time about whether Fine Gael would have anything to do with Michael Lowry. And indeed, Fine Gael did have a semi-formal, informal arrangement with Michael Lowry between 2016 and 2020. I can't say that that has been sustained necessarily over to the same extent over the last 4 years, because it hasn't been a minority government. But Micheál Martin has been very clear about Michael Lowry in the past. At one stage in 2013, he was looking for the Moriarty Tribunal to sit again for 3 months to reconsider matters that had arisen out of some reporting in the Sunday Independent related to Michael Lowry and all of this. It should be noted, I think, that Michael Lowry has rejected some of the findings of the Moriarty Tribunal.
But he's never legally challenged
But he's never legally challenged it. That is a fair point. I guess, and I haven't heard what Micheál Martin and how he's going to explain this one away, but I guess it's the fact that Michael Lowry has a mandate and has repeatedly been given a mandate by the people of Tipperary and in this election, the people of North Tipperary. And so I suspect that's the basis on which he's prepared to now speak to him. But it's a tricky one, and he's going to face some questions over it, I suspect.